Let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for an opportunity to come into your presence. We thank you, Father, for the time that we have spent remembering your Son and his death on the cross of Calvary. Sometimes, Father, we take for granted the awful cost because we ourselves don't know what cost is sometimes. And so, Father, help us this morning as we think of him, as we think of what he has done for us and what we should be doing for him. And so, Father, we just pray that the Holy Spirit of God would speak through your word, through your servant, give strength and help in time of need. And so we just pray these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When Isaiah came into the presence of the Lord, there were seraphims there, and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy." They had six wings, and they covered his face and feet, and they did fly. And they cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Has things changed since that time? Is the earth still full of his glory? The answer is yes. Even though we don't see the manifestation of glory in our midst in this world that we live, he's still in control. The glory and honor is still his. It is our part to bring that glory that he so deserves. It says the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And I'm wondering, is the doors of our heart moved when we come into his presence? I'm wondering, is this smoke of our praise being offered up that which satisfies our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? For Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Our purpose each Lord's Day is to come to this place for one reason and one reason alone. Because this time that is set aside in the mornings on the Lord's Day is to be sanctified unto the Lord. We're not here for our own pleasure. We are here for the Lord's pleasure. He needs to hear from our hearts, and our hearts have to be shaken up as to why we're here in his presence and how we should honor and glorify him. It's not about us. It's about him. We sanctify this time. And that means set apart. Holiness is being set apart. In Christ we are holy people. We are a holy priesthood. We are set apart for the purpose of worship and telling others of Christ. We are a set apart, we are a holy people for him. Not to do what we think we should do. In Matthew 22, Verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that they had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together, and one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the neighbor, thy neighbor, as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Pharisees are always trying to trick our Lord Jesus Christ. But he hit him right between the eyes when he said, which is the greatest of the law? He says, this is the greatest. That you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. A complete person. That's what we're consisted of. The mind, the heart, and the soul indwelling in a body. The purpose is to worship and to love the Lord your God with all of it, not just part of it. It's been brought to my attention these last few weeks that as an assembly of God's people, we need to look afresh at our behavior as we come to meet with the Lord. When we post out front the meetings to start at a certain time, it behooves all of us to be here on time, if not earlier. This is a hard message for me because it affects me too. We are to be here not only on time, but maybe earlier to prepare our hearts. Isn't that what the Lord said? To love the Lord God with all your heart. And so when we come here, do we prepare our hearts to meet with the Lord? Being late dishonors our Lord. Even our nation understands what it means to honor the president. Whenever he addresses Congress, all the senators and representatives are in the hall of Congress well before the president arrives. Once the president enters the hall, the doors are shut and no one enters. How would it look if some senator or congressman would burst through those doors after the president had already been there and stood at the platform? I'm sure somebody would have something to say to that person, regardless of what his position. I'm sure someone would have to say something to bring him to an accountability, give him a lecture on protocol of how to behave himself. Since we at Bethany have no such protocol, this decision is to be on time is left to the discretion of each and every believer. Most specifically, it becomes a matter of the heart and how much they would want to honor the Lord thy God. Facts. There are 52 Sundays in a year. If one were to be 1 minute late every Sunday for a year, that would add up to 52 minutes, just shy of an hour. That is lost time. If one was to show up 5 minutes late. That would be 4.5 hours of lost time of worship. 10 minutes is over a day. It's 8 hours, 40 minutes of time lost before the presence of our God, who we say we love with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Just what does this all this mean to a believer who says he is under the law? He's not under the law, but under grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done, what? In his mind, soul, and spirit? Now, done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest, what? In your conscience, the mind. What is to be manifest? That's those things that we do, and those things that we say, that are going to be brought before the judgment seat of Christ. No one here who is a believer is exempt from standing before the judgment seat of Christ. It says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we do and our behavior, whether it's good or bad. Now, I'm not talking about sin. Sin has been dealt with on Calvary's cross. Our past sin, our present sin, our future sin has all been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But what's talked about here, the judgment seat of Christ, is what we do in our bodies. Those things that are going to be brought manifest before the throne of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. We will have to give an account of being 1 minute late, of being 5 minutes late, of being 10 minutes late. You know, when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane, one of the hardest hours he had apart from the cross, where he sweat drops of blood, agonizing over the cup that he was to drink, because that cup represented the sins of the world that he had to drink, my sin, agonized over it, was praying to the Father. And when he came to his disciples, found them sleeping. Could you not watch for 1 hour? I believe that will be echoed in the Bema. Whether we're late or these other distractions, could you not worship but for 1 hour? We are living in a world of technology which takes us, our hearts and our minds and souls, away from the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are distracting us from the reality that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm not against technology, and I don't know technology because I refuse to use it. Too complicated for me. I'm a simple man. Back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 reads, "But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." The word manifest means clearly evident or obvious. Those things that we do in the body do not go unnoticed. Certainly not unnoticed by the Lord himself. But are they being noticed by your brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes. That's what has been brought to my attention, the distractions during worship. I sat in the back row for a few Sundays just to observe. And I apologize for that because it's sometimes, and it has become a distraction for me, to see what goes on during worship. Could you not worship for 1 hour? When I see people talking to each other, about what? What's so important that you have to take the time from worship to talk to others? And the worst one I've seen is texting. Grieves my heart to think that something is more important than worship, than being humbled in his presence, and being like Isaiah, who was humbled and contrite and broken in the presence of God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Do we really believe this sign that he is in our midst? Sometimes I believe not. The way some things are done during the worship time. Some of the distractions that go on. It is the Lord that we're here for. Not to amuse ourselves with others. Not to be texting. Not to be fidgeting. Not to be doing anything, but focusing our attention on Christ. Our society has taken that away from us, has robbed us, because there's so much bombarding us in the world that demands our attention. We have to have something going on every moment of the day. Can't go to a job without having music or some kind of distractions, and there's got to be noise and motions, and it's commotion. Be still and know that I am God. We have lost the reverence today. Can we start the new year aright, afresh, by dedicating ourselves to the Lord? There's a book that I just started to read. It's called Living Water. It's by a Chinese brother called Yun, Y-U-N. I read his last book. I think Dan's familiar with Brother Yun from China, who is a contemporary. He's only in his 50s, probably 55 right by now, but was put in prison by the Chinese government because of his stand as a Christian. Tortured, beaten. I mean, the book is so incredible, you would think that nobody can endure what this man has endured for Christ. Went 70 days without food or water. Now, that's impossible. Nobody can go without food or water for 70 days. This man did, because the Lord preserved him. He wanted a holy life for the Lord Jesus Christ, completely separate from the world and the things of this world. He's dedicated himself to Christ, and he said whether he lives or dies is for Christ and his glory. And today he's over in Europe, in Germany, reaching out to the souls. to bring them back to life, the life in Christ. You know, he's more alive today than many Christians are. And he says this, since coming to the West, I have found it doesn't really matter how much you preach in most churches, because the majority of the believers have become sermon-proof. They have listened to thousands of sermons and have become experts at tuning out. Their bodies are physically in front of you, but their minds and hearts are far away. Lord Jesus Christ said that we must love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. Are we drifting away from that, where we can contemplate the Lord Jesus Christ? It's about a few moments, a couple of hours on Sunday. There are other distinctives of our worship that takes our thoughts off our Lord. Many others, but I'm going to leave them to your conscience, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you. I'm just bringing out those things that the Lord has asked me to bring out. They're not easy things. They're hard things. But they're for our benefit. A matter of dress attire. I'm sure many of you knew that this was coming. And where I stand. I mentioned before that Bethany does not have a protocol or a dress code, apart from what the scriptures tell us. 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10 says, in like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. The dictionary defines shame is a painful feeling arising from the conscience of something dishonorable. Let me read that again. Shame is the painful feeling arising from the conscience of something dishonorable. If we dishonor the Lord, there should be a conscience that brings shame to us. We should feel it in our hearts, how we treat the Lord. Do we feel that, or is our conscience seared? Are we sermon-proof? We don't want to hear it anymore. You've spoken too much about this. You know, the scriptures are clear about women having long hair. Why? The woman's hair is her glory. And when you come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that no flesh shall glory in my presence. And that is why the woman is to wear a covering to cover her glory. Because she doesn't want her glory to be a distraction from the Lord's glory. It's the same with the men. Men, you don't wear long hair. It's a shame for a man to wear long hair. That's what the scriptures say. I'm not saying it. The scriptures say it. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. When I first came to Bethany Gospel Chapel, it would be rare to find a woman in pants. Today it's commonplace. It's accepted. Is it a cultural thing? If I was to stand up here with a dress on, you would say, that's an abomination unto the Lord. And you would be right. The push for women to dress like a man is nothing new. All the way back in Deuteronomy's days, talked about it. The rise of feminism in this country has changed the culture of women in this country in a very short period of time. As I mentioned, when I first came to Bethany, it would be rare to find a lady wearing pants. The question is, do we as Christians change as our culture changes? Is that the idea? Because everybody else does it, I'm going to do it? It is a matter for each individual to decide. I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you what to dress. That would be wrong. I can exhort. Is there a standard by which individuals should follow? The answer is yes. There is still a standard. Unfortunately, it is not found in the church. If you go to a wedding today, most weddings I've gone to, the woman still wears a wedding gown or a dress. A man still dresses in suit and tie. That's the standard that the world has set. That's a cultural distinctive. How we should appear as a bride and groom. And when we go to a wedding, we don't dishonor the bride and groom by dressing in a manner that would dishonor them. We dress appropriately because there's a standard the world has set. And yet we can lower our standards when we come into the house of the Lord. It's okay, just come as you are, because it's okay before the Lord. That's a question and that you will have to answer, and not me. I have to give an account for my behavior before the Lord at the Bema seat. The problem is we don't show the same honor to the Lord that we show to men. When we honor men more than we honor the Lord, we have a problem. I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict each of us about these issues. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that it doesn't matter how we appear. If that's your thinking, that's what you will have to give an account for, an answer for someday, if it doesn't matter. You know, there's two problems with that kind of thinking. And they're scriptural. I'm going to go to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Start at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have a society that says, I have my rights. I can do what I want to do legally. Not so in the house of God. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. It says that we, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit resides in each one of us. And what does that Holy Spirit want of us? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable thing for you to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. We are not our own. We belong to God. He bought us with the price of blood. The Lord Jesus Christ had to go to the cross. The book of James is very clear. You know, it's interesting about James. I had a discussion with a priest. He wasn't a full priest yet, but he was a partial priest. I don't know what they call him, but we discussed justification for about 2 hours. And I finally came to the conclusion. I said to him, he says, you know, it's all about works. We're justified by our works. And he was quoting it from James. And I said to him, I said, friend, the book of James is about justification, but it's not about justification before God. It's about justification before man. We must justify our behavior as Christians before man. Our behavior, our attitude, what we say and what we do. That's why people know that we're Christians and not like them. Verse 5, if any man, chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and there shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Strong words about justification. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. Do we have a double standard when it comes to the Lord? It's okay to go to a wedding in a suit and tie, but when it comes to the Lord, it doesn't matter. James chapter 2, verse 12. So speak ye, and so do. What we speak is what our behavior should be. Well, we told my sons, talk is cheap. But it's our behavior that's going to speak louder than what we say. So speak ye, so do. As that they shall be judged by the law of liberty. And the second thing is 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Whose steps are you following? Steps of the world? Culture? Are we following in Christ's steps? He left us an example. How do we know that? That we should follow in his steps? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give you the wisdom to understand. And the criteria given to elders in 1 Peter 5:3, it says, neither as lords over God's heritage, but being examples. The Lord left us an example to follow. We are to be examples to God's people. Our attitude is to be kind of that kind of example. And it's up to me. Nobody's going to tell you how you do behave. That's up between you and the Lord. But you know, we have people across the street who observe us. And they see people coming in late. They know the sign says 9:30. They see us coming in dressed the way we are dressed. What do they think? I don't know. Are we representing the Lord of glory? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of hosts. More of an example is right here of how we present ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ for the young ones. The young ones are the ones that are going to be affected by our behavior. Their minds are like sponges. Their eyes see everything. Don't think you're fooling them, because they're not. They see everything we do. And if they don't think that this place is sanctified and holy, they will leave someday and maybe even turn their backs on Christianity. We pray that that never happens. Brothers and sisters, we have an example to our young people as examples of what we should be like in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. Father, for the exhortation, and sometimes, Father, even rebuke that you have told us about in the Scriptures, Father, that these things are hard, and yet for our good. Father, you know that even in discipline is for the purpose of bringing us back into a right relationship with yourself. So we pray, Father, in the year ahead that we have, that we might follow in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the example of what we should be like, that we might be more dependent on the Holy Spirit of God to bring into our hearts and minds and souls Christ Jesus himself, that everything we do should be to his honor and glory. So take us to our homes in safety now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.